Thank you all for that invitation again to preach the word. I'm glad to be able to do so every time I have a chance. I have had some trouble with my tablet this morning not wanting to load my lesson, so I'll have to read from the back wall as much as possible. So if I get crossways, just let me know. In the meantime, I'll do the best I can not just stare at the back screen and look around from time to time. Good to have everybody here this morning. Glad you're able to be with us in person if you're here in person today. Glad you're with us via the Zoom or the live stream, rather, if you're here with us on live stream. Glad you're able to be with us today as well for that. Have several things to cover this morning. First, I want to just remind everybody about tonight. Please be willing to come to the Zoom session tonight. We're going to have a brother from the World Bible School talk to us this evening about things that they've been doing to make spreading the gospel really easy, or easier, I suppose, by providing some really wonderful stuff on the internet that you can use. He's going to come talk to us about that. I asked him specifically to focus on that this evening, so he's going to do that. At the 5 o'clock hour, we'll send you the Zoom link if you need that. As everyone will, but we'll send that to you via either Facebook or email. If you are up to us in our lessons this morning, we're in the book of Titus. We're in chapter 1. Going to be covering verses 5 through verse 9 this morning, if you will turn your Bibles there this morning. As we're looking at the things that Paul challenged Titus to accomplish in his ministry, first of all being to appoint elders in every place, and then the second thing that we looked at was that Paul wanted him to set everything in order. And we discussed last time that there were three four statements in verses 5 through verse 10 that deal with the subjects at hand for the rest of the book. And as we go back there, I want you to see what those four statements were, the four F-O-R, four statements were, starting in Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, where Paul says, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you." And then Titus chapter 1 and verse 7, the second of those four statements is, "For the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed nor quick-tempered." Then the final one, Titus chapter 1, verse 10, says, "For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision." So we discussed that the rest of the book is going to deal basically with the appointing of those elders and what the elders are for, with addressing the rebellious empty talkers and showing the truth of the good word to them, and then also the idea that everything that we do is to live as a counterculture for the culture that we live in. Whatever culture we happen to live in, we have to be a counterculture as a Christian culture to that culture. I talked last week also about the plan of attack. I said we're going to divide this text from chapters 1, the rest of chapter 1 from verse 5 on to the end of the chapter. I discussed we were going to discuss that in three different sermons, and so this is the second one of those. Last week, looked at the monumental task given to Titus, and we talked about how big that was for Titus to have to do the things that Paul asked him to do, pointing at least, at bare minimum, probably about 80 elders, depending on how many cities there were, roughly 40 cities. There are that many churches in that area, they would have to have a couple of elders for each one. Second thing we discussed was that he had the monumental task of trying to set everything in order, get people to start thinking more Christianly in a Christian manner, a Christ-like manner, as they began to live different from the culture that they lived in, which is a horrible culture. Today we're going to talk about leaders for times like these, or times like those especially, and times like these as well. Talk about leaders and what leaders will look like in a world that doesn't love God and doesn't hold God to be dear. So as we come back this morning to that, we're going to look at the elders and what is said to Timothy about what elders must be, and we'll look very carefully at those things this morning. The next week, Lord willing, and we're still here on this earth, we'll discuss Sermon 3, and that's keeping the truth of God true and how important it is for us to be familiar with the Word of God and treat the Word of God with the great respect that it deserves. These three will take us to the remainder of chapter 1, and so we're going to continue this morning with chapters with the middle verses there, dealing with the appointing of elders. Paul says to Titus, "I want you to appoint some men, and I want them to be very special men, men with very special qualities." And we're going to discuss this morning that it's vitally important for the churches on the Isle of Crete to have this great group of located leaders who were local to the towns that they lived in, who understood what it was like to live there, who understood the challenges that were present in that community, and that they would stand against the immoral status of the island and the folks that lived on that island. This was such an immoral, profane group of folks that they have, we looked last week at some of the words that were actually used to describe them. They were basically liars and gluttons and cheats and thieves and so on. Every major immoral behavior of the Cretan people needed to have a chosen leader who was able to offset that and show what the moral lifestyle would be about. This list is very revealing for the times. It's very revealing for us to this day. Sin doesn't change, folks, just the people sinning change. But sin doesn't really change. There's nothing new under the sun. Satan has a set group of things that he tries to tempt us with. There may be new ways to experience the sin, but the same old sin is still in the world today as it was then. So how prevalent that sin is in a society is going to have a lot to do with how difficult it is for the church to exist in that society. So why elders and why men? Why elderly men and why men? Two clarifying words identify these leaders, and I want us to look at both of those this morning. The first is the word elders, which you'll find in verse 5, which comes from the Greek word presbyteros, which is one of those one of the three major words. Presbyteros, episkopos, and then poimeno are the three words that are used of the eldership in the first century. The word poimeno having to do with shepherds. In this particular case, presbyteros has to do with being elderly, an elderly person. And then overseer is the word episkopos, which is found in verse 7. Overseers must then be these things, he says. So we have these two words that demonstrate that these are to be elderly men and they are to be elders, going to be appointed as a position of authority. It's not just older men. I thought it might have been last week when I showed you the video that I showed you. I thought they didn't do a very good job of describing the difference between the older men in chapter 2 and the older women in chapter 2 and the elders in chapter 1 as a group of established men. So these are older men, and they're being assigned to a position of authority and leadership by the apostles and by, in this particular case, by the preacher at the time, who was Titus. They're not just older men, but they're also in a position of authority. What type of men are they to be? Well, Titus chapter 1, verse 6 shows us that. Let's start with verse 6. It says, namely, if any man is above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion. Now, we're going to stop there. There's much more in verse 7 to describe the character of these men, but let's just look at what type of men these are to be. First thing they're to be is they're to be above reproach. And I'm going to use quite a lot of Greek this morning, but I'm just going to use the anglicized version of it, except for the longer passages. I want you to see what it looks like. But anyway, the first word is I can say this when I'm sitting down. I can say it perfectly fine. When I'm standing up here, I can't do it. Aneglektos, all right, which is basically neglect. You see the word neglect in there, and the ah is the negative part of that. So ah, neglect. Somebody who hasn't neglected their life to where they would be accused of being blamable or reproachful. So these are people who are above reproach, who are blameless and above reproach. They've not lived a life that can be used against them in the church and in the community. The second thing they have to be is the husband of one wife. That is a longer phrase, mas gunakas aner, which means mas, it's not, it shouldn't be mias, it should just be mas. Mas is the one or the first, and the first person. So he's a husband of one. The word gunakas is the word woman or wife. It can be either one of those, primarily meaning as woman. And then the third one is aner, and that's a man. So basically what this says is he's to be a one woman or one wife man. And so he is to be a person who is not given to, number one, not given to polygamy, but number two, to be faithful and honest and above board to belong to just one wife. He's not to be involved in affairs, not to be having extramarital affairs. He's to be a one woman, one loving man, a man who loves one wife and only one wife. I don't think, and I'm just going to state this and throw it out there for you, I don't think this necessarily says that a man can never have had a second wife and still be an elder. There's also the death of a person who would be a legitimate loss of a wife, and so then at that time I think a person could have a second wife and still be an elder. But I think he does need to be married, and that's pretty much clear from here. He's also to have children who believe. That's the word tekna ekon mata, which means tekna is basically a child. It's not a young child. It's a child of age, some age. But it doesn't have to necessarily be a teenager or anything like that, just a child. And then the word ekon, that means holding or possessing or having or owning. And then pistos, which is the word faith. It means trustworthy, true, believing, and faithful. Now, we've always used this in the past, or oftentimes we have in the past, to mean that the child had to be a believer to the point that he's been baptized before a man can become an elder. I think that's pretty much fallen out of use these days, as we understand the word means more. They need to be trustworthy children who are in control and under the leadership of their father or mother, and they are very obedient children. Now, that's what's being discussed here, more than whether or not they are people who understand the faith or understand the gospel to the extent that they are children of God. So as we see this, this basically says you've got to have a father who knows how to raise his children, knows how to keep his children in control, who's married to one wife and loves his wife very much, who is dedicated to that wife and dedicated to the family, dedicated to the sanctity of marriage and to the fact that he is a one-woman man. Those are the things that we need in quality people for the leadership in the church. So as Paul looks at those things, he then says there's also character traits that these guys have to have. Not only do they have to be certain men of certain qualities, they also have to have some character traits. So I got ahead of myself. There's still one more thing that we need to talk about, and that is that he has to be not accused of dissipation or rebellion. Again, this is a couple of ah words that start with the not factor. But basically it is the word may, which means not, and then an categoria, A complaint or an accusation, a criminal charge or a category against a person. The word category is what we get the word category from. It was basically used to talk about something that was criminally liable. So he's not to have any criminal liability against him. He's not to be accused of criminal charges and so on. And then the second word is asotuis, which means being unsaved or profligate lifestyle or excessive lifestyle. So he's not to have a profligate lifestyle. He's to be very controlled and in control at all times. So he is to be a person above the reproach and above being able to be saved, that he was a lost person or that he was out of control. And then the third word there is anupatakta, which is unsubdued and insubordinate or disobedient and unruly. So he's not to be a disobeying person. He's not to be an unsubdued person. He's not to be an insubordinate person. He's rather to be a person who understands proper leadership and is in control of himself at all times. He's not an unruly person. So that's the character, that's the quality of the men that needs to be discussed. Then we have character traits for overseers, and those are found in verses 7 through 9. For the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast to the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. So this man is to be a man of great quality as well, great values, great character traits. He must first of all be above reproach as God's steward. Now, it's already been said earlier that he was to be above reproach, but in this particular case, this is a phrase that all goes together. He's to be above reproach as God's steward. As a person who dedicates himself to the things of God and the life that God gave him, he needs to understand that he is to be specific as God's steward. He is to be the person who's able to keep the house of God in order, right? The word for steward is the word akonomon. There we go. I'll get it. Oikonomon. I'll get it sooner or later. I just need to quit doing Greek, I think, because I've lost my touch. All right. Oikonomon, which is oikos, is the word house, and nomos is the word law, originates from the word nemo, which means to parcel out or to distribute. Now, the word originally began with the idea of parceling out food to the horses and to the cows or whatever, and they'd each get their allotment of distribution. But from there, it came to mean the word a law or keeping the law or being a line for the law or whatever. So in this particular case, he is to be the lawyer of the house or the law keeper of the house. He's to be the one who organizes the house and keeps it all together. He is the one who manages and controls the matters for his master, who happens to be, in this case, God. So the man who's qualified to be an overseer in the church has to be somebody who's already proven himself to be an overseer in the world, and he's also able to keep the things of God in order and understand those things perfectly well. So we have to understand the quality of people that are being sought for overseers or elders. Then they have to be men who are capable of standing against the status quo of the culture they live in. They cannot be involved in the culture that they live in. I want you to see on the left hand, I've got the list of things that they're supposed to be. On the right hand is going to be the opposite that the culture will show, that especially was true in Crete, where these men were being appointed. They're not to be self-willed, which would be the opposite of being egotistical or self-focused and self-interested, all right? They're to be not self-willed. They're to be willed for the people of God, all right? They're not to be quick-tempered, so they're not to be angry or aggressive people. Rather, they're to be very calm and patient people. They're not to be addicted to much wine. I want you to notice that most of these are in the negatives, and then a few at the end are in the positives, but start with the negatives. They're not to be addicted to much wine, which means they can drink occasionally, but they're not to ever be drunken, and they're not to be a part of that drunken society. I do say that they are allowed to drink at times because I think that's very much Bible subject, even though we have our brethren who believe that nobody ever drank anything stronger than grape juice in the first century. I think that's wrong, but that's my own thinking, all right? They're not to be pugnacious, which means they're not to be brawlers. They're not to be wanting to box everybody down all the time. They're not to be people who are causing problems. But in the Isle of Crete, there were folks that were always looking for a fight, looking for a chance to get ahead, so they would be brawlers and fighters and so on. They're not to be fond of sordid gain, which means they're not to join those folks who are gambling and cheating and looking for any way to make a dime without having to work for it. They're not to be those folks who are lazy and sitting around doing anything they want to be doing without working for a living, trying to find that quick dime or whatever. They're not to be fond of sordid gain, so they are to be fond of legitimate gain, or at least they're to be interested in gaining legitimately and not sordidly. They're to be hospitable. This is the first of the positive situations. They're to be hospitable, which means they're not to be self-serving. They're not to be looking out for everybody else and are not looking out only for themselves instead of everybody else. Be looking out for the needs of other folks as well. They're supposed to be loving what is good, which means they're not going to be evil-minded. They're not going to be looking for evil stuff. They're not going to be participating in evil things just because they can. They're to be sensible. They're not to be haphazard in their life. They're not going to be unable to control themselves. They're to be just, which is just the opposite, basically, of being wicked or out of control. They're to be devout. They're not to be immoral folks. They're to be devout and godly folks. And then finally, they're to be self-controlled. They're not to be reckless people. That's the list. And then we have the other thing, verse 9. They're to be able to hold fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. So basically, he has to be, among the many things that he has in character, he also has to be a Bible scholar. He has to know what's in the Bible. He has to understand the word well enough that he can uphold that word and hold fast to that word. In the salutation, Paul mentioned that he was writing to Titus concerning his word in the proclamation of which with which I was entrusted according to the commandment of God our Savior. We discussed in our earlier thing that we were going to discuss the word quite a bit in Titus because it's very important to the island of Crete and what people needed there. They needed to understand the word. They needed to have the word. They needed to be able to understand that the word is so different from what they would have been taught in the past. So in this particular case, we've got to have men leading this congregation, leading every congregation of the Lord, church at Crete especially. We need to have men who could hold fast that faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching. Now let's break that down just a little bit. The elders were charged with holding fast the faithful word. They were to hold that fast. The idea of holding it fast means you have to understand it, you have to know it, you have to be able to teach it, you have to be able to replicate it in the lives of other folks. It had to be in accordance with the teaching, and that is the word didache. Now, it's not the didache, which I mean, I put that because that's the way it's written in the New American Standard, but it's not the didache, which was a document that was put together about 300 years after Christ's death that had to do with basically a proclamation of things that were held dear in the church. But it was rejected as canonical by the early councils, and it should have been. It was not inspired by God. So this is just the instruction or doctrine of the church. Such doctrine is to be sound doctrine, is to be healthy and wholesome doctrine, and not anything that's twisted or used against the Word of God. It is used to exhort people, and it is used to also refute those who are contradicting. Contradicting, of course, the truth of God. We mentioned last time that what had happened in the church was that, especially in Crete, there were certain men from the circumcision group, from the Jews, or who believed that Jews were right and every man had to be circumcised before he could be saved. These folks had come and were upsetting the church, and so we need some strong elders to exhort them and refute those who are contradicting the truth of God's word. So we have to choose men to be elders who are very well adjusted, and choosing those men to be elders is vitally important to the church. We should never underestimate how important it is for us to choose men who are very worthy to that position. We just had another elder added recently. I believe we made a wise choice as a congregation. I believe all of our elders are good men. So as we're looking at what an elder is, he has to be the forefront of our fight against the world, against worldliness and sin. So these elders have a great responsibility. They have to be men of great responsibility. They have to be men of great character value, great judgment value. We shouldn't be appointing men to elders just because they want to be elders, just because they think they'd be a good elder. We need to make sure they're a good elder before they become an elder. We need to make sure they're already leaders in the congregation. These men are worthy of double honor, we're told in 1 Timothy rather, chapter 5, verse 17. When we read the elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Folks, we have some preaching and teaching elders among us. We have some really good, strong men who are good in the Word. We have some men who teach individually one-on-one. We have some men who teach from the pulpit. We have all of those things in this congregation. We're glad to have those men as our elders. These men are worthy, these men are to be considered worthy of that double honor, and we should be giving double honor to our elders as well. We have some fine elders here at Southside. I'm glad to say that. I'm proud to say that. I've not always been of that opinion of all the elders I've ever served with, but I am certainly of that opinion right now. We have men who are good teachers. We have men who are good examples. We have men who have good consciences, who are very very careful and very cautious people. We have good examples to stand, who are going to stand in opposition to the profane and the immoral, who would try to gain an advantage in the church, who would try to sway the church away from Christ. We have men like that in this congregation now. That doesn't mean I always agree with everything they say, and they probably don't agree with everything I say, but we certainly work well together, and we've always done so. And when a decision is made by the eldership, that is the decision for this congregation, and that's the decision that I will keep no matter what I feel personally about it, if I ever should disagree with the elders. We should each one of us be growing to be defenders of the faith as much as we can. We can be part of the problem or part of the solution, folks, and that depends on how much we take respect for the Word of God, how much we respect our own lives and our own selves, how much we live according to the will of God and do the things that God asks us to do. If we would be a part of the solution to the problem, then we cannot participate in the world. We can't do the things the world is doing. We have to understand there's a line that we have to draw between what we do and what the world does. The world is going to do everything it wants to do. It's going to do whatever feels good to itself. We must do what is right by God and right by Christ and right by the Word of God. So as we have these great leaders, let's follow their example as they follow Christ. Let's hold them up to double honor. Let's respect them with everything that we have. Let's be thankful that God has assigned us some wonderful men in this congregation to serve in that place. Next week, as I said, we're going to go on to look at holding up the truth of the truth, the truth of the truth and being true to the truth. We're going to cover that next week. Right now, let's just go ahead and close with an invitation this morning. If you're here this morning and you have not accepted Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, this is the day to do so. We have a great set of folks here at the Southside that are trying to live according to the will of God. We'll help you in your walk. We'll help you do everything we can. We'll certainly help you with your choice to be baptized this morning. We can do that. If you will come this morning and give yourself over to Christ, if you're out there in the live stream area and you're listening to this sermon, you want to be baptized, certainly contact us. Let us know that. You can call the numbers that are present in the bulletin. You can call the church numbers. You can find that on the internet or whatever. You can go to our website at www.cleanchurch.org, and you'll find us there and find numbers that you can call. If you are in need of the prayers of the congregation, if we can help you in any way, if we can pray for your health, if we can pray for anything that you need prayers for, we're willing to do that as well. We are praying people here. Whatever we can do to help you, let us know that at this time as we stand as we sing the selected song.